third and final one. Yesterday afternoon, we headed off in a red patroller to catch up with Vera. She was walking, of course, and this is day two. She walks for her daughter, Ava. She started out from Mallow. She's approaching Mitchelstown now. And yesterday, a couple of miles on the Mallow side of Kildorrery, we caught up with her, which would be the N73, Mallow to Mitchelstown Road. The road is very busy. The road is very dangerous. It's different when you drive on these roads to when you walk on them, because when you're walking on them, you realize how fast the traffic passes you, how vulnerable you are, particularly when trucks, and there's a lot of trucks and Artics on that road because it's a link road, it's an artery road. And as they pass you, you get this gush of wind. And there were occasions, actually, when I had to jump in or once or twice had to pull Vera in with me. People were walking in single files, about a dozen people there. Gino Kenny was down, the TD, the AAA TD was there. And supporters and friends of Vera were walking with her as well. In fact, when I was leaving her, other people were joining. And the idea was that she would walk to Kildorrery, go home and pick up the walk again this morning, which she did. But as I say, even when we were driving, there was very few opportunities to overtake other cars, virtually no hard shoulder, lots of bends and twists on the road. So I would be worried about these roads, to be walking on them. Now, I'm not being overly, you know, scared about it. I mean, it's just, they're just dangerous roads to be walking on. But we caught up with her nonetheless, and I walked alongside of her. Have a listen.
So how are you doing this? Are you doing it single file?
How do you mean?
Here, because you're going to, you don't want to get hit by a car or anything on these roads.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, we're single file when the lorries are coming, yeah. Sure. And there's plenty of them. What should I do?
No, nothing.
What's that? Are you holding them?
And Brian,
no, I'm holding them.
Yeah. And Brian's son is the very same situation as Ava.
Killian,
except that,
yeah.
Except that the Charlotte's Web didn't work at all.
No. But you'd like to have the opportunity.
You'd like to have the opportunity to try. I mean, like, we are very lucky with what results we got out of it. Not everybody has the same success, you know, but...
So what are you going to do? You're going to walk on today to where?
I suppose we'll walk. No, Gino was saying... Do you meet Gino?
Is he there?
He's coming. He's there. We wait. I'd say he's texting or something. He said Mitchelstown was too far to go
Kildorrery
today.
Kildorrery is next.
So
yeah?
we might stop at Kildorrery today, I'd say. Because I'd say my legs might go, I don't know.
Are we?
And bring it back to the... Yeah, yeah.
Good idea.
Good
idea to go back and then restart again.
Restart from the pit. That's why that was like the significance of starting in Mallow again, because, well, like, we'd gone that far before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I suppose maybe Kildorrery today and, you know, see what happens. I don't know.
Those trucks are unreal.
And they're flying.
Yeah. And they do. Would you think many people who are passing know who you are and what you're doing?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a good number. I'd say, like, there's been a lot of horns beeping now and...
Really?
Things like that. There was more people arrived. Oh, mind yourself. There was more people when we started, but people had to go to work and collect their kids and do stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then I got a couple of phone calls of...
What if your son, does he suffer with epileptic attack?
To be honest, we had a suspicion that maybe he did, because he, you know, he would have certain kind of tics, but we've come to the conclusion that he's not epileptic. He doesn't have epilepsy. He has a profound type of autism. He's a vestibular condition, so his eardrum isn't really connected to his brain properly, and he's legally blind on top of all of it. So he really got, I suppose, the worst hands out of the lot. But he's not included in this list. You know, they say there is no medical benefit, and we're saying we are living proof of the medical benefit. Look at the studies in the States. Look at the studies in Israel, which is the forefront of all cannabis studies, Israel right now. But we can't accept that, you know, in Ireland. I think it's horrible, and we're forgotten again.
Okay. So the CBD, the Charlotte's Web, is available. It's very expensive. This change in law will mean that you'll be able to get it from a doctor's prescription. Am I right?
Well, from what we see, we hope, that was the hope, but I think you have to be part of that approved list. You have to have...
Not you. I know that because you're not on the approved list. But and that would mean that if you can get it through a doctor on prescription, would it be cheaper then, or it would be able to be available on a medical card
It will be available on a medical card, and it will be covered under the affordable medical medicines list.
Okay.
So the government will be picking up part of the tab on that, which will make life extremely easy.
And you're saying that your son needs 2-to-1 care, that your son needs two adults 24/7?
24/7, yeah.
That's incredible.
24/7. He can't, we live in a flat. You know, we went from a house paying, you know, rent and hoping to buy a house to building a flat in the middle of the north side and great neighbours and all the rest of it, but with concrete steps. We have no garden, no front garden, no back garden. He's in a box room. He's like a caged animal, to be honest. But, you know, this is where we are right now because there is nothing out there to help our son's condition.
Okay.
We don't have occupational therapy. We don't have speech and language therapy. We were waiting and waiting. And we got a call a couple of months ago. We could be waiting up to another year. You know, I mean, this is the time my son needs his help. If he's ever to develop neurologically, he's meant to get his help now as he's developing.
Okay.
These are crucial years.
Okay, but you don't have any oil right now?
No, right now, no. We're having 24th of December, we ran out, and Luke has eaten an average half a slice of toast a day. And he drinks. He will drink fluid, so we kind of get every kind of fluid into him, and we kind of get vitamin supplements into him. But he is, yeah, he's severely malnourished because.
When are you going to get the next bottle?
We're saving at the moment, so we've got about another 2 weeks, maybe left, maybe 3 weeks.
Come on, let's get a bottle now. Let's just get a bottle. How do we do it?
The suppliers in Dublin, Hempstore is where we normally go. Hempstore.ie. And these guys, I mean, there are quite a lot of guys around Ireland, but I'm not the only one. There's so many.
I understand that, but I'm talking to you now and I'm talking about your son. How much is a bottle of this oil that you need?
It's about 300 euros.
Okay, so let's just buy a bottle at midday. How long would it take to come down?
24 hours.
Okay, let's do it, okay?
That's incredible. Thank you so much.
Not at all. I mean, let's just do it. So at 12 o'clock today, we'll get a bottle. Do you tell me what to do, where I go? What do I have to get, you know, bang in a credit card or whatever? And we'll get it at midday. And you should have it, you say, this time tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, let's
That'd
do it.
Incredible.
Okay, let's
do it. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Let's just get it done at midday and we'll talk to you off the air, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, cheers. Well done. And I'm really, really privileged talking to you. You're a wonderful dad. Well done. Thanks for taking the call, Luke.
Kind of thing, like, but I very, very grateful for that man and all your staff and you, Neil. Like, you know,
here's where we're at now. That house has been renovated. It's a 2-bedroom.
I spoke to the landlord this morning, and
you come up with the rent allowance, and he'll get it directly, right, from the state. He'll top it off. He'll do the rest then himself. So you got your rent allowance. I assume he'll give you some kind of a contract. We'll give him the money we have by way of a deposit.
No problem whatsoever. Neil. I confirmed that with my other this morning.
And it's all fully furnished.
That's what I was saying to him. Like, you see, I thought I was saying, like, Neil, I'll be going home, like, and I'm delighted, Neil, like, and the act of kindness, like, you know, that's Jesus.
So right. It's going to be great for
you. I'm not getting upset or anything about it, Neil, like, but I tell you something for nothing, in all fairness, like that, if there was more people like that, man, there'd be a lot less homeless, you know. And even, like, you know, he's taking a hit in his pocket for me, like, you know.
Yes.
But I can assure you, I won't let that man down. And as he said to me, and Neil, this is what he said, his words, and, you know, this man doesn't want any advertisement whatsoever. I won't even mention his name. He said, that'll be your home for the rest of your life if you look after it.
Amazing.
I mean, like, that blows me away, right? You know?
That's amazing. What, that's...
My mother knows, her son had no miss no more.
And how is your mam? Where is she? Is she well?
She's all right. She's grand. She's a grand, fine, spirity woman, Neil, you know?
Is she in her own place?
She's in share houses, you know?
She's in a share house. Ah, lovely.
You know, like, so I call up there every day and cook the meals and stuff and do the best we can, and we both do the best we can for each other. And we're delighted, mate.
Do you know what I think? You've got a second bedroom there if your mam ever wants to stay over.
That's what I said to her last night, you know, there's no problem, like, and you can come, like, you know.
She must be delighted with the news.
She says she can go to her grave and her son ever home.
Amazing. That's terrific.
That blows me away, Neil, you know.
I know.
God is good, like, I prayed last night. I couldn't sleep last night, Neil. I'm playing all scenarios. I'm not being the Doubting Thomas or anything, like. I was just waiting for the rug to be pulled under my feet again, you know, and that's no disrespect to anyone, Neil. It's after happening so many times over the last 14 months, like, you know, but like, when I was doing my prayers and stuff this morning, a lot of thanks, Neil, you know.
Good stuff. Well, it's always good to give thanks, my friend.
And only for you, no, Neil, like, and all your staff, and especially, you know, and they're not being favouritism, but any of your staff, you're always been very kind to me and my love, and treat me with respect. The Cullum, the other works for you, like, that I've been dealing with there, like, to support that man. Keep going, Philip. I said it about Stephen off from Access Housing, but I forgot to mention Cullum yesterday, like.
Good man.
He told me, keep my chin up, keep my spirits up. Keep going, keep going.
You gotta keep on fighting, no matter how dark the day might seem. You just can't give up.
Neil, like, it's like, Neil, like, I can get on my life after I got off the phone out tomorrow yesterday. I rang the education officer there, on Fiona Halligan there from Joanna Merta there over by Anglesey Street. And she said, Philip, I'm shut up and run and come straight over and we get you straight into the CE scheme that you're after.
Well,
it's all good.
And you've proved in the past that you can do it. You know, you've turned your life around.
I can do it with a small piece of help, like, you know.
All right. And indeed, the superb news regarding little Abby Murphy, and I will tell you the entire story on that, because right down to the wire Friday afternoon, right down to the wire, and we had a 4 p.m. deadline in this story, it really was touch and go, but at the 11th hour and 59th minute, Abby was accepted by Great Ormond Street Hospital. And we're just so happy, and the family so happy. But there is a whole story to this, which I will tell you. And it involved, of course, the pledges came in, something in the region of about, you know, €22,000. But the problem we were having off the air from midday onwards, or at least Colin Moore was having, and Emer as well, was that Great Ormond Street wanted the money in their bank account by 4 o'clock. And of course, we were endeavouring to get as much of many of the pledges in as we could. But even if we got €22,000 in before 4 o'clock, we still wouldn't have been able to get it into a bank account. And the reason for that, of course, is because it would take 3 days for the money to be transferred from the bank. It's not as if you put the money into Great Ormond Street account and it's there. It wouldn't be there until maybe Wednesday of this week. So it really was, very, very scary. And Abby and her mam and her granny were all in Great Ormond Street Hospital, and the accounts department were saying to us, if there's no money in the account by 4 o'clock, then she will not be admitted. There will be no bed. There will be no tests. She won't start on her long road to recovery. So I went at that stage then, around about 1 o'clock or so, to see the managing director of Cork's Red FM, and I said to him, we have a problem here because we won't be able to get the money in, and even if we did get it in, we won't be able to get it into the Great Ormond Street account because we won't be able to make the transfer on time to meet the 4 o'clock deadline. And I said, I'm thinking of paying for it on my credit card, and then I will try and get the money back from the pledges next week, but we need to pay it today, and I was thinking of paying it on my credit card. What do you think of that? And he said, Dermot O'Leary said, the radio station will pay for it. And I have to say, I was astonished. And at that point, he then gave me two of the Cork's Red FM credit cards, and he said, go and pay for it. And we'll deal with it next week. And we will get the pledges in, and then we will repay the money into the radio station's account. And I thought, that was astonishing. I don't know how many companies would reach out like that in such a generous way. And I thought it was a wonderful thing. So we were all ready and primed to pay over the money from the Cork's Red FM account. And then at around about 10 minutes to 4, we got a statement from Simon Harris's office saying that everything had been sorted right at the last minute, that the HSE had been in touch with Great Ormond Street Hospital, and that Abby had been accepted into the system. So there was fierce relief here. And I have to say, the amount of work that Colm and Emer did on this story since the middle of last week. The former Lord Mayor, John Murray, was convicted in 2013 of multiple counts of sexual assault on a teenage girl over a 2-year period. He carried out his first attack in 1996 when his victim was just 13 years old. His victim is Elaine Murray, his granddaughter. She joins me by phone. Elaine, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate this opportunity to speak after all these years.
This is your first time actually saying anything publicly about this. In fact, this is the first time that anybody will ever know that you were, in fact, John Murray's granddaughter. Why have exactly. And I respect your privacy and your anonymity up until this point. And I also can never even begin to imagine how difficult it must have been for you having a daughter myself. However, why have you now decided to speak?
I suppose, Neil, 3 years have passed. I have got a lot of help and a lot of support since then, but I can talk about this topic now and I can put it back in its box after the conversation and it doesn't need to affect me anymore. But the reason I wanted to ring you today is because, first of all, I wanted the people of the city to know that I am his granddaughter and that there has been a lot of talk this morning and yesterday about a family grieving. And there are members of the Murray family that will be grieving, but there has been such a divide in our family that for other members, this is a relief to us that that man is gone. And I'm just so disappointed that, again, it's back in the media again. It's back in the media for all the wrong reasons. I'm just so upset that he was even mentioned in City Council the other night. It shouldn't have had to have even been a topic. I shouldn't have to talk to you today. But the reason I wanted to is to let people know that while there are members of the family grieving, there's other members of the family that are not, certainly not grieving today for that man.
Okay, and without wishing to go into that in too much detail, out of respect for all of the family, that divide is between those who believe in his innocence and those who believe in his guilt, am I right?
Exactly. Amongst John Murray's own children. He had five. Three of them were mentioned in his death notice. My dad and my aunt were not mentioned. They stuck by me the whole way, obviously. My parents, my sisters, my aunt and her family were so supportive. I just wanted people to know that for my family and for my aunt's family, we are most certainly not grieving.
And how did what effect did it have on your life from when it happened up until now? Do you live with it all of the time?
Not anymore. After this conversation now, I can put this back in the box. And I can go and I can do my job today and I can go home this evening and make my dinner. I can deal with it now. But, I mean, as a teenager, it was very, very hard to deal with. It was very, very hard because I couldn't tell anybody. I was always known as the awkward one in the family with my cousins. What's wrong with her now? Why is she acting like this? There was always something wrong with me. And I hated going to family occasions. I hated being around them. I just didn't know how to be around these people. There was family holidays for years. I didn't go on them. I couldn't be around them. I didn't know how to be around them. And it certainly affected my relationship with my family for a number of years.
It must have been very difficult to be at family gatherings that John Murray was at then.
It was, and that's another reason why I wanted people to know that I am related to him, because like I would have seen comments online at the time, people being naive, really. Why does she keep putting herself back in a situation where it would happen again and again? I couldn't avoid that man. I had no way of avoiding that man.
I wonder, do you realise how incredibly brave you are to come out now and say, it's me, my name is Elaine Murray, I am his granddaughter?
Thankfully, I'm married now, Neil, so I have changed my surname, which is great. I can, it is sad because it's my father's name, but I'm lucky enough now to be able to shake off that surname. I might have a new surname. It's just, I think after 3 years, I was just ready to let people know the effect this man has had on us.
Do you really believe that you were ready, Elaine, or did the events in council on Monday night force you to take this brave step?
My hand was forced. My hand was forced. But I'm strong enough now to be able to deal with this. My hand was forced. It really was.
What would you say to Sean Martin this morning then?
I didn't want to come on here for a slanging match, but he's a disgrace. He's an absolute, complete and utter disgrace. He did know John Murray. I know he did. He was in his pocket a bit. I know there will be other former Lord Mayors and former politicians attend that funeral today. But my whole point of talking to Chris O'Leary the other day was that I just wanted to make sure this wasn't going to be recognised in any official capacity, especially for the year that's in it,
and
when we're honouring people.
To the likes of John O'Donovan, who say, in spite of this and in spite of what happened to you, The man did a tremendous amount of good. He was referring to medical cards and corporation houses. And
John O'Donovan is a crony for a start. He's very much in his pocket. John O'Donovan knows John Murray the politician. He does not know John Murray the father, the grandfather, the husband. He's a street angel, a house devil.